Before I left for a long-planned trip to Ireland and Poland with three brother priests, I penned an article for last weekend's bulletin addressing the horror I felt in the revelations of abuse by a cardinal of the church. As much as we had done in addressing the issue since the early 90s in our diocese and then the U.S. since 2002, I told you that there had been a serious deficiency. The Charter for Protection of Minors never really addressed those in authority that had either abused others or had condoned such horrible sins, choosing to protect the church's reputation rather than protecting the most vulnerable. Instead of finding myself away from the firestorm that engulfs us, I found myself, as you did too, even deeper in the muck and shame of it all. First in Ireland, and then in the news that came out last Sunday in Europe. Certainly you've heard of the horrors that took place in Ireland when it comes to abuse, on top of all the news that's been coming out of Pennsylvania. We know it because we have lived it ourselves, not just in the United States, but even here in our local diocese of Duluth and in our city of Brainerd. Then last Sunday, I awoke in Kraków, Poland, to a devastating letter written and publicly released by an archbishop. He is a former Vatican ambassador to here, these United States, and he spared few people in saying that the cover-up of abuse, especially in regards to the former Cardinal McCarrick, had reached the highest levels of the church. Needless to say, I was shocked and saddened beyond belief. Though we still need to sift fact from fiction, it does make things a lot worse. And you wonder at that point, who do you trust? Who do you trust? At that point, I did the only thing I knew to do when I feel a total loss. I walked to a church to pray. I found myself at the Basilica of St. Mary. It's in the heart of Kraków, and it's one of the most beautiful churches in the city, in a city that is filled with beautiful churches. All I could think about was the paradox of the stunning beauty of my surroundings and the utter filth that also exists in Christ's church. And then I looked at today's gospel, hoping that scripture might help me at that moment. And I realized that the Lord's words to us today are more than true even for today. From within people, from their hearts, come evil thoughts on chastity, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, licentiousness, envy, blasphemy, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from within, and they defile. I asked the Lord what I should do when I returned home to help my people in these awful and trying times. How do I strengthen their faith, so weakened by the sins of clergy and the leaders who condoned and protected the worst kind of evil imaginable? Well, the Lord spoke to me very clearly. He said unmistakably, "Tell them your story." So for the first time in a public way, I will do so. Many people have heard it privately, but I have never, ever wanted to draw this kind of attention to myself and away from Jesus Christ. But I hope my experience will help you to know that the Lord is so very close to you. But even more so, he loves and cries for those who have been hurt by predators and their protectors. And he wants you to stay close to him. As Peter said last week, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of everlasting life." I am a victim survivor of clerical sexual abuse. It happened when I was a teenager. I don't know this horrible experience from some distance, from stories I have read or that have been told to me. I have experienced it in my own life. It took me 12 years after it to finally tell another human being. And it took me another 10 years after that before I met a very faithful priest who was also a counselor and helped me find the healing I desperately needed. Now that took care of the emotional scars, but what about the spiritual ones? I ask the same questions that many of you are asking yourselves right now. How can I stay in this church where this horror has happened and where some of her leaders were complicit? How can I reconcile my own history and experience with the crimes perpetrated by some of the church's clergy? And most of all, God, where are you in all of this? Where are you? So I found my answer in a place so familiar that I didn't expect it. In the Eucharist. Though I was grateful for all those people, family, friends, and yes, wonderful priests who helped me immensely, it would be Jesus Christ himself who would ultimately bring me spiritual healing. In this church, populated by sinners, was to be found the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ. He who was innocent, yet gave his life for the guilty, offered his body and blood to me to show me how far he would go to love me, to show me how far he would go to heal my own brokenness. It would be he who would tell me that what I experienced was not his will, but was the worst that human beings can do to other human beings. A couple of months ago, in a homily that I gave here, in a general way, I mentioned how Christ spoke to me at Mass one day, and he said that he would use my own brokenness to feed his other sheep. Well, now you know the full extent of the brokenness that I spoke of. In the years since I found that spiritual and emotional healing, I found too that my own experience has helped me in innumerable ways as a priest, especially in helping others who have suffered a similar fate. I fully admit the sheer craziness that I am a priest in the same church in which I was also a victim. But I also believe that this is where God's grace and love can most fully be found. Without Christ's real presence, without the most full expression of God's love shown in his ultimate sacrifice on the cross, renewed each and every time at Mass, I have to say, I would be completely lost. And I think you and the entire world would be too. I needed the Lord, and I knew that the only place I could truly find him was in this church that he himself founded. So, where do we go from here? First, the only way forward is the truth. All of it, unvarnished and exposed. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He also said this, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." When lists of abusers began coming out publicly, and I saw that my abuser was not on the list, I was told it was because nobody had written a formal report. And so you know what I did? I wrote it out, every awful detail, so that what was hidden would be made visible. And thus, that abuser was placed on a public list, although he had already left the priesthood years before. Well, we need that from the entire church. No more cover-ups. The only way for Christ to heal those who have been abused, and to be honest, to heal the entire church, is to shine the light of Christ in every dark nook and cranny that exists. Does that mean we could hear more about more places that haven't yet been scrutinized, like Minnesota or Pennsylvania or Ireland Yes, it might. Might we discover that some complicity and cover-ups reached the highest levels of the church's hierarchy? Yes, it may. But we can't have purification without knowing what it is that needs to be purified. Secondly, the bishops of the church have lost, practically speaking, all credibility with this issue. It has been squandered. And so, whatever investigations will take place and whatever recommendations come out of them must have serious lay involvement. The clerical leadership hasn't done well in policing itself. We need you, and the church needs you. Finally, I think this is a time to double down on holiness, personal holiness, from each and every Catholic. I believe the only way to fight sin and to fight it hard is with striving for personal conversion. St. James said in our second reading today, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deluding yourselves. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained by the world." So I think St. James is calling us to two things. First, to care for the least amongst us. For us today, that has to be those whose innocence was destroyed by abuse. And secondly, we are to keep ourselves unstained by the world. That, I believe, means we must seek with everything that is within us personal holiness. That begins with the sacraments, with allowing Jesus to take over our hearts and lives and to be like Mary, his mother. I believe we must become walking tabernacles of the presence of Jesus Christ. The last thing I will say is this. Bishop Barron, an auxiliary bishop of Los Angeles, recently said that this is the worst crisis historically to ever hit the Catholic Church in the United States. He said, "We have nothing worse to compare to in our history." And I believe it's true. But if we look at other horrible times in the church beyond these shores, it wasn't the popes or bishops that made the difference. It was ordinary men and women whose sanctity, whose holiness raised them to become saints. My efforts at faithfulness and sanctity, and especially yours, along with honesty and reparation for those terribly hurt, I believe is the only path that we can follow. I promise you my renewed commitment to seeking personal holiness and even more faithfully to serving you. I invite you to join me in this endeavor. Let us keep each other in prayer, and may Our Lady of the Rosary intercede for us.